Praise be Jesus in you.
Now.
Today's Gospel begins a bit suddenly, so I should explain that in the passage between yesterday's Gospel and today's, Jesus angered the Pharisees by healing a man in the synagogue. There was a man present who had a withered hand, who had perhaps even brought by the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" They already considered Jesus soft on Sabbath observance. They were trying to do the maximum possible. If something wasn't absolutely necessary on the Sabbath, you shouldn't do it. And they wanted a basis for accusing him. By having the healing take place in front of the whole congregation, there would be no shortage of witnesses to bring a case against him. By asking him if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath, they hoped that he would clearly contradict the law of Moses with his answer. Instead, Jesus gave a good argument that healing was lawful. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it up? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep?" He concluded, "So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." They said nothing. Jesus was saddened by their hardness of heart. They would neither admit it was lawful nor give an argument that it wasn't. These are not people in search of the truth. In fact, their reaction to the healing shows this. The Pharisees went out and took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They were not happy that a man was healed. They were not seeking the life, but rather a way to get rid of Jesus. They went out to take counsel because they knew that many in the synagogue thought that Jesus was right. Many admired him. They had failed to make a convincing case that Jesus was breaking the Sabbath, which would have allowed them to charge him with something. So what should they try next to get rid of him? This is what they took counsel about. For they were not worried about the Sabbath so much as about the way Jesus was drawing the admiration of the people to himself and away from them. People listened to Jesus' teaching instead of theirs, even though he was not crying out in the streets. When Jesus realized they were plotting against him, he withdrew from that place. We might think that he did this because he was afraid, or because it was not his time to die. But St. Matthew tells us that it was actually to fulfill a prophecy of Isaiah, the prophecy that begins, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen." Christ is a servant because he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, as St. Paul wrote. He is God and man. As God, he is Lord. As man, he is a servant. Then the prophet adds, "My beloved, in whom I delight." And we saw, or perhaps heard at Christ's baptism, how a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So this is my beloved, in whom I delight. And also at his baptism, the Spirit of God was seen descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And this confirmed that he was the one of whom God had said, "I shall place my Spirit upon him." So the first lines of the prophecy help us to recognize that it is speaking about Christ. After this, the prophet says, "And he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles." This he did chiefly through his church, for he sought first the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he also taught some Gentiles how to live justly during his public ministry. Then comes the part that more directly concerns Jesus' withdrawal from direct conflict with the Pharisees. He will not contend or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. When he realizes they want to kill him, he could bring down fire from heaven to consume. He could send a destroying angel to slay them in their sleep. He could make an example of them in a thousand other ways. He could indeed also contend or cry out, shouting how wrong we are. But he does none of this, at least not for now. St. Augustine explains he did not break nor quench those very Jews who persecuted him, although they were like a bruised reed because of their lost innocence, and like smoking flax because of the light they had lost. The light of faith, the flame of faith, was weak in them. It was like a smoldering wick, because they had been unwilling to accept the truth at the cost of their prestige. But the light was not totally dead. It might be merged, or it might be brought back to life, back to flame. Their problem was that they valued honor from men more than honor from God. Jesus also does not want to break the bruised reed by continuing to do in the Pharisees' presence things that will make them angry. They are bruised, but not yet completely broken by temptation. They can still be fixed, still be repaired, healed. He does not want to push them any further. Instead, he gives them time to cool off. He leaves town, probably to their relief. But many people followed him, and he cured them all. However, he warned them not to make him known. The word translated as warn is a forceful one. He expressed strong disapproval, the idea that they might make known that he had healed them. So we might say he sternly warned them not to make him known. He doesn't want word to get back to the Pharisees of what he is doing, because that will stir up their envy, making them even more resistant to the truth, putting them even more on the path to hell. Whereas if, on the other hand, he gives them time, as he's trying to do, some of them may see reason. God's mercy leaves space for conversion, but eventually judgment must come. So the prophet also says that Christ will spare the bruised reed and the smoldering wick until he brings justice to victory. Justice must be victorious in the end. The psalm speaks of people yearning for justice, and he assures us that God has not forgotten about justice. He does see the evil that people do, but it is not yet time to do something about it. He will bring justice to victory definitively when he comes to judge the living and the dead. When he comes in glory to judge the living and the dead, at the end of the world, of course. But he also judges each individual at the moment of death. So let us learn from the Lord the mercy of not pushing people too hard. There's still time to proceed more gently. Sometimes we have to give people time to calm down and think about what we've said, instead of constantly pushing them to embrace the truth. Sometimes we need to pray more and speak less, because what is lacking is not information but grace, and it is prayer that obtains grace. And for this purpose, the Rosary has great power. Praised be Jesus and Mary.